Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. As I read this story, it's the story of Mary standing outside the tomb where Christ's body was laid. It's a story that most of you have heard before. But as I read it, I want you to imagine the scene. Picture it. Imagine her grief as we're told she weeps. Picture it. Listen. Think about what's being read. For the story that I read actually took place here on earth, a particular place at a particular time. John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Father in heaven, we ask that you would tend to your holy word preached now. Turn us towards these words and our eyes towards heaven, that we might be transformed even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I suppose there are many reasons why people come to a church service. But there's really only one that ultimately matters. And that is that we come seeking Jesus Christ. That we come seeking the one who is the Savior of the world, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. That we come because we indeed are in love with Jesus. I know many people come as a favor to family members or friends. Some come for the cultural experience of beautiful music and something to connect to. But there is one ultimate reason why we come. And that is because Jesus Christ loves us. And the Father loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die that we might live forever. Now, there are many, many things that might be clouding your heart and mind right now, distracting you to think about where you're going next, the family you will be with, the friends that will gather, or the lack of family, or the lack of friends. But my friends, for a few minutes, I want us to see these words for what they are. Here is a woman who is deeply in love with Jesus Christ. This woman walked on this earth at the same time God the Father ordained that the Son would walk on this earth. She was made by Jesus. She sat at the feet of Jesus. She felt the love of Jesus, the love of the only perfect man,
Jesus was a man who never ever sinned, not once, not one sinful thought, not one sinful act. So to be in his presence was to be in the midst of perfection, to be in the midst of one who would never judge you in a wrong way, one who would never wound you, one who would never do anything that was sinful. And now over the last few days, she has witnessed her dear friend, one who had dined in her home, one whose feet she set up and listened to his teaching. She had witnessed the crowds turning, the religious leaders mocking, the thorns placed on his head, the nails in his hands and feet, the spear in his side. She witnessed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus taking down the body of Jesus and wrapping him in the linen. She participated. And she knew the tomb where they laid this body, this man who claimed to be God, this man who did amazing things, this man who promised eternal life. And so early in the morning, on the first day of the week, John 20 verse 1 tells us, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb while it was still dark. And there she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. At that moment, we're not told if she peered in. She just saw that the stone was removed. She moves quickly to the disciples. She speaks to Peter and John. John runs and he lets it be known that he was the first one there. Peter comes second. John waited for Peter to get there. Peter enters in and then John follows. Mary doesn't go in. And then the two disciples depart. And Mary stands there weeping. Why is she weeping? Mary tells us, as the angels in verse 13 ask her the question, she says, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Every person in here has experienced the grief of losing someone they loved. And if they're too young in our midst, they will. The grief that Mary is experiencing, the tears that she's crying, is that her dear friend, her master, her teacher, the one who proclaimed to be Savior of the world, the one she trusted in, had just been murdered. He had been murdered in a way that she could never have imagined. She witnessed it. And now she goes to the tomb. And there the stone is rolled away. Peter and John confirm the body isn't there. And she weeps. She weeps because she wonders, what else could they have done to this body? His body on the cross, dripping with gore. What else could they do now? Why? Why this sick, sick thing? And she weeps. You know, I think it's a good thing when we weep, when we consider our Savior Jesus Christ. You may not be a person that weeps easily. In fact, you may weep with no tears coming to your eyes. But I think it's a good thing when we are seeking Jesus that we weep. Spurgeon said, it's a great thing, dear soul, when you cannot find Christ, to weep your eyes out until you can. And here's Mary. She wants to see Jesus. She wants to see her Savior. The body is gone. She doesn't know where it is. She's weeping. She wants to see her Lord. But have you noticed? She's looking in the wrong place. Mary is standing there at the entrance of the tomb and she's looking inside and he's not there. The linens that covered his body are there. The angels are there, but Jesus is not there. Where have they laid him? She's looking to see Jesus, but he's not there. Not in the tomb. We often look for Jesus in the wrong places. Some of you even today have come but you're still looking for Jesus in the wrong places. You're actually looking for Jesus in dead places. Religion is a dead place. Religion is a place where mankind looks at himself and says, what must I do in order to earn God's love and affection? What hoops must I jump through? What boxes should I check off so that God will be pleased with me? Religion is a dead place. You cannot be made right with the Lord because of religion. Some people come today looking at another dead place, looking for an experience, looking for the right emotion, looking for the right sense, maybe even of shame and guilt, looking for some special knowledge or experience that might lift them up or give them a special feeling. Dead places. Some simply come. The first quarter of the year is over. Now let's once again reevaluate our life. And they look at Jesus as just another paradigm for self-help. My friends, that's not Jesus. You won't find him there. You won't find Jesus in religion. You won't find Jesus in self-righteousness. You won't find Jesus in this experience that you're seeking that's subjective. You won't find Jesus as a self-help little God. That's not who he is. But we so often look for Jesus in the wrong places. But even as we look in the wrong places, Jesus has the power to be present. Do you see this? Mary is looking in the tomb, and then there's a turn. Mary is aware that someone is in her midst. She speaks to the angels, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they lay him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. How many of us, without knowing it, have had the true presence of the Spirit of Christ near us? Mary sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize it's Jesus. So Jesus speaks to her, verse 15, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" I think Jesus is affirming the question the angels asked. I don't think the angels are bringing shame or guilt. They're acknowledging with empathy the deep pain that she's experiencing because she loves her Lord. "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Do you see what's happening here? Mary actually sees Jesus as the enemy, a foe, not the friend, capital F, not the friend of sinners. Mary hears his voice, the one who sat at his feet, who chose the better thing, listening to his words. She doesn't recognize his voice. She can't see him. So she sees him in her perception as the gardener. And the gardener is the foe, because the gardener perhaps is the one who has taken his body and put it somewhere. And Mary says to the gardener, "Where have you laid him so that I might know that I might go get his body and care for it?" Do you ever see Jesus as the enemy? Do you ever see Jesus as the foe? Have you come here today, if you're honest, out of respect for a parent or a grandparent or a friend, but you don't believe what you have been listening to, maybe even going through the motions, even in reciting? Because deep down, you don't see Jesus as the friend of sinners. You see him as your enemy. Many people today would admit they don't believe in Jesus because they don't really believe he's good. They don't really believe he matters. They don't really believe that he is significant. One of the reasons they were led to disbelief is because of pain. Pain in this world. How many people have said, I can't trust in a God who allows these things to happen? And I understand their feelings, to be honest with you. Because this evil world, this fallen, sinful world, dishes out an amazing amount of pain daily upon all of us, to one extreme or another. And some simply can't see God, the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as being a God that's good, a God that's powerful, or a God that really cares. Have you come today? And if you're honest, your disbelief is because you do not like the circumstances of your life. And perhaps once you have turned to Jesus, but he just didn't seem to be present. He didn't seem to care. He didn't seem to enter in. He didn't seem to fix it. Well, let me tell you the truth, my friend. You were looking for the wrong Jesus. You see, so often we look for Jesus to be in places that he isn't. We also look for Jesus to be things he never said he would be. Many at this time were stunned that Jesus had been crucified because they thought he would be the political king. Today, some of you won't believe in Jesus because he hasn't taken away your pain. He hasn't healed your really broken marriage. He hasn't brought your child to a place of respect and honor and love. He hasn't healed your loved one's disease. He hasn't removed depression. My friends, the truth is that Jesus Christ never promised to take away our pain this side of heaven. Never. The friend of sinners never said, I will take away your pain this side of heaven. He only promised to give us himself. And he did. He gave us himself. God incarnate, walking upon this earth 33 years, never sinning, taking on the torture of the Roman soldiers, being hung on a cross, dying the death that every man deserved to die. And even there on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus never promised to take away our pain this side of heaven, but he promised to give us himself. And God understands that your pain can be so great that it could lead to disbelief. There are many because of pain who have never believed. And there are those who once sweetly professed faith in Jesus Christ who find themselves in disbelief, in doubt, and in despair. They would say, I'm not sure I believe anymore, or definitively, I don't. Let me ask you a question. Has your doubt and your disbelief made the pain go away? It doesn't. You see, numbness is no savior. My friend, Jesus Christ never promised to take away your pain this side of heaven. But he did promise to give you himself. And so here Mary stands in pain, in anguish. She sees Jesus as the foe, not the friend. And what does God do? The opposite of religion. Religion would punish her for not being able to see that he was God. But Christianity pursues the one who can't see. And in one word, Jesus turns her to him. And what is that word? Mary. Jesus said to her, Mary. And John tells us she turned. It's the second time she's turned. she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher, master, do you see what's happening? Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the God of the universe, there present with Mary even when she couldn't recognize him. And he speaks her name. John 10, Jesus told us, I am the good shepherd. My sheep, I know them by name. They hear my voice. He draws us in. Mary. But why couldn't she see him before that? I think it's simply this. There is no way that Mary expected Jesus to be standing. There is no way when Mary got up early on that first day of the week and went to the tomb that she expected Jesus to be standing. She could have handled the body of Jesus still wrapped in the linen in the tomb. She expected that. When the tomb was rolled away, the stone was rolled away from the tomb, she could have handled the gardener saying, I have placed him over there, or I saw those who took him and they took him there. She could handle a dead, lifeless body of her friend and master Jesus. But she had not expected to see Jesus standing there. And when Jesus says, Mary, she sees. Her head is turned. And was there ever a greater turn in history? My friends, I wonder what you expected to see today. When you decided this morning or yesterday or last week, or if it's an annual reality of your life that you'll come to this church and worship, what did you expect to see? Jesus is the one I pray you see. Jesus is the one standing, the one reigning as our King. Jesus is the one who is alive. Mary did not expect to see him in that way. Have you come today expecting to see something else of Jesus? A paradigm for your life? A little bit of religion to make you feel better about yourself? Or have you come and on this very day heard him call your name? Mary! My friend, if you are a Christian, then it is because at some point in your life, you heard the irresistible call of God. And as he called your name, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was a distinguishable voice. You said, as he was revealed to you, I believe. Praise God. And may you continue to see him Sunday after Sunday and day after day until that very day with all the saints, with all the martyrs, we will see him in his glory. But my friend, if you're here today and you admit that you have not believed in Jesus Christ, it's possible that he, the real Jesus, is more present than you know. It is possible that he brought you here this day that you might hear your name. That you might hear the Son, the hound of heaven, chasing you, saying, I love you. I want you. I died for you. For Jesus tells us that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Have you heard him call your name? Do you want to hear him call your name? Then pray, my friend, even now, to the Lord and Savior above. Jesus, the one who cried out, Mary, and turned her head towards himself, would you cry out my name and reveal to me that you are calling me by name? My friend, at this very moment, the Lord has the power to save you. But I'm guessing he is not the Jesus you expected to see today. And guess what? That is great news. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the creator of the universe and the one and only one who can save you, who can redeem your life, who can give you his perfect self as you struggle with pain this side of heaven. But if you are called by him and you respond to that call, that drawing, then you have the promise that one day your pain will be over and you will be with him in paradise forever, knowing no more tears, no more thirst, no more hunger, no more pain. But that promise is only for those who have responded to his calling by name. Dear Jesus, we know that your word is true, and I pray that you would speak as only you can to reveal to hearts and minds at this very hour that you and you alone are the way of salvation. Save us, Lord, from our sins and from ourselves. Take us, O Lord, into eternal life. We pray all this for your glory's sake and our deep, profound, and eternal joy. Amen.